The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Yes, friends, the Spirit is still speaking today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thrilled to have this time together with you as we stand together to equip you, to empower you, to help you engage on the front lines. If you're not getting our frontline newsletter, it'll equip you, it'll inspire you, it'll bless you, it'll inform you. Right now, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Sign up. We'll also send you updates each week. Here are our latest articles, our latest videos. What's happening in the world today, we're talking about it. We're giving you language. We're giving you content, trying to be a support and help. So be sure that we can stand with you and pour into you. It's all free, thelineoffire.org. Today, I want to talk about a very important subject. It's theological. It's biblical. We'll look at some texts. We'll discuss some issues. We'll share some testimonies. Above all, I want today's show to be practical, encouraging, edifying, hope-building, faith-building, realistic, truthful, and faith-building at the same time. If you have a question for me, if you differ with some of the theology that I'm presenting, if you have an honest question about trusting prophetic ministry today or hearing the voice of God today, by all means, give me a call, 866-348-7884. I'm not taking calls on random subjects, but just this, hearing the voice of God, the Holy Spirit still speaking today, problems with that theologically, what the Bible really says. Can we trust prophetic ministry today? 866-348-7884. This topic is especially relevant for two main reasons today. One, we're in another election season, and 4 years ago, we had a real scandal with many, many loud prophetic voices across America, even in other countries, proclaiming that Donald Trump would win the 2020 elections, that Joe Biden would not be inaugurated, that Donald Trump would have 8 consecutive years, et cetera, et cetera. And some still hold to it today. They said, well, he really was elected, but the election was stolen, or that he really is the spiritual president and Biden's not the real president. They haven't repented. They haven't stepped down from what they're doing. They haven't acknowledged their error. And if Trump were to be reelected in 2024, many would say, you see, I told you. Of course, that's not what they were telling us. They were telling us he'd be reelected in 2020. Others will just go on with a spiritual fantasy, no matter what happens with former President Trump in the future. And it brought tremendous scandal, lots of questions. When I was interviewed by the New York Times about it, I said it was the worst deception I'd seen in 49 years at that point in the Lord. The reason I mentioned the New York Times is to say it was a story that the whole nation was talking about. And it wasn't just something in a charismatic corner somewhere. This got out. And to this moment, there are prophetic words that are fueling an unhealthy union of church, state, politics, as if it was all the same kingdom. By all means, we're involved in politics. By all means, we seek to influence the good of the state. By all means, we vote. We're involved. We're not leaving this world. We're seeking to make an impact on this world while we're here. We're seeking to glorify Jesus and shine light in dark places and set captives free and do good in a tangible way in the midst of this world. Absolutely, 100%. But there are others who, through their prophetic words today, would actually have some type of unholy union between church, state, and politics as if they were all part of the kingdom of God together. Therefore, I'm concerned about what we do with prophetic ministry today. So that is the one thing. We still haven't recovered from the scandals and the deception of the failed Trump prophecies and even the failed end of COVID prophecies as well. Along with that is the scandal concerning IHOP KC, International House of Prayer KC, and Mike Bickle, a man that has been a friend to many of us. I was not a close friend of his, but considered him a genuine friend. And to my knowledge, he was a godly man, an exemplary godly man. now massive charges of sexual impropriety of a very, very serious level, and more charges being added, it seems, each month, very credible charges. And what's come into question now is not just the man himself, but what about the ministry? What about the, quote, prophetic history? What about men like Bob Jones and Paul Kane? What about their moral failures? Can we trust any prophetic ministry today? Is it all corrupt? What's real? What isn't real? So these are genuine questions people are asking, and they're asking for good reason. And many are not sure what Scripture says. Many never really studied it scripturally, so their confidence in the Spirit speaking today is based primarily on experience, not on Scripture plus experience, or experience then confirmed and verified by Scripture, but sometimes just by experience. So we need to put our roots down biblically. Then from there, we need to guard against deception. We need to be able to separate truth from error. Look, I have deep differences with some of my cessationist brothers. And there are some whose work I feel is very destructive. I would call them hypercritics and not just critics. At the same time, I understand that some of the foolishness that's been in our charismatic circles, some of the unbiblical doctrines, some of the weird practices, some of the reliance on things outside of Scripture have set us up for mockery. And because we haven't adequately self-corrected, we haven't adequately called for accountability, because of that, it's like a free-for-all out there. It's like Wild West in certain ways. And if we don't correct ourselves righteously, then others will correct us, some of them not righteously, but they'll correct us, and they'll often throw out the baby with the bathwater. So it's important that we ground ourselves in Scripture, and that from Scripture out, we see what the Spirit is doing. And I want to say, without question, as I understand Scripture, it seems absolutely clear to me that the Holy Spirit continues to speak today. The Bible is the Bible, the once for all revelation of God. What we need to know in terms of the nature of God and how we are to be saved and the basics of how we live in this world, that's in Scripture. It's over. It's final. Nothing is to be added to that as Bible. As Nancy would say, period, the end. Just that's it. And the Holy Spirit continues to speak just like he did through history. And most of what the Holy Spirit spoke through history is not recorded in the Bible and is not at the level of the Bible. Just individual words and directives that God gave at different times to different people, and it's not recorded in Scripture. Just like we know there was lots of prophesying in New Testament times, but it's not recorded in Scripture. There may have been individual words or directives for people or insights, etc., but none of it is Scripture, and therefore it was not preserved as the Word of God. So, very simply, as I've used illustrations like this endlessly, that if you're praying about a job and the Holy Spirit leads you to take one job versus another, that's not adding to the Bible. It's not in competition with the canon of Scripture. You know, I have open here Acts, the 13th chapter, and it says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." It's just written in a very casual way. In other words, it wasn't that an angel came in the room. It wasn't that the room shook. It wasn't that the glory of the Lord filled the place and everyone was on their faces shaking. It wasn't that they had a series of dreams and visitations. It just says, "And the Holy Spirit said." The Holy Spirit said. Now, how did he speak? It could be that it was through prophetic ministry, that someone in their midst who is recognized as a prophet spoke, "The Lord says, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to," or "Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to." And then the others recognized it, bore witness with their spirit. They knew it was the Lord, and they did it. It could be they heard it together. I've been in meetings where multiple people have heard the same thing at the same time. I've been in meetings where we're asked to be a, quote, prophetic presbytery, like Paul mentions prophetic words spoken over Timothy when hands were laid on him or gifts imparted to him, that several of us would be praying over people. And what I find remarkable is it's people that we don't know at all. And as we're praying, I feel the Lord drop certain scriptures in my heart with certain emphasis. And then the other people go before me and minister, and they're speaking with specific insight to the people. They're weeping as they're receiving the words. They're so accurate. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. The scripture they shared, that's the scripture God dropped in my heart. It's a big Bible. There are a lot of verses there. And when two or three of you get the same verse for the same person that you know nothing about, and it's maybe even an obscure verse, so you can hear God together. Either way, the Holy Spirit spoke and they heard. John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the Greek is very simply present ongoing. They hear my voice, not just when I call them to salvation, but they hear my voice. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And the Holy Spirit continues to speak and bring the voice of Jesus Yeshua to us. Most of the time, it's by the inner witness. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So you have this internal witness, and that internal witness, you know at certain times, this is God, I'm supposed to do this. And then that absence of witness, no, I'm not supposed to do it. Sometimes you feel a pressure from the Holy Spirit. I need to speak. I need to act. And you just know internally it's God. Then there's the inner voice where we sense what God is saying. We may hear words that, and we become used to. We become used to the voice. We hear words inside of us that are not just our brain. And it comes with a certain witness, or it comes with a certain clarity, or it comes with a certain faith. And we grow in this. We learn, we become more sensitive in our walk with the Lord. The voice can come like that. God can speak to us in those ways, or God can speak to us prophetically through someone. God could use someone to speak a word to us, and as they speak, it may confirm things we've been praying about. A brother and sister from Norway just told me that very story. Just happened to them recently. They just came from vacation, and someone who didn't know them called them out of the meeting and said, you just came from vacation? And yes, and the Lord gave you this specific calling to do this? Yes, and it's going to be bigger than what you realize. Well, that was beautiful. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes God gives us a word for others. Sometimes God speaks to us in dreams or in visions. After all, Peter says, the outpouring of the Spirit is for the last days in which your sons and daughters will prophesy. The Spirit will be poured on all flesh. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And the New Testament encourages us to walk in this. Don't despise prophecies. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Above all, Paul says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. These are commands. These are exhortations. This is all for today.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that ACY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA. Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I hear it every single day. Hear it every day on the broadcast. Our Trivita co-sponsors talking about how 100% of your first order goes to support the Line of Fire. We have developed a new 30-minute equipping broadcast. We launched it on over 180 stations across America. We're about to launch in a large station in Northern California and look to really blanket America with this new equipping broadcast on many stations around the nation. And we're doing it with your help. We're doing it with your support because it takes some time before you can build up support for a broadcast in a city. It may take a couple of years. So one great way that you can help us reach more people, equip more people, empower more people, infuse more people with faith and truth and courage is by making an investment in your own health. How's that for win-win? Yeah, so call our friends at Trivita, 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. Ask them your questions, ask them what they recommend. 100% of your first order goes to support the Line of Fire, more than the tithe of all subsequent orders. And if you want to do it online, trivita.com, use the code BROWN25. All right, to get on the air and talk with me today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to read a testimony to you from the book Intimacy with God, by Randy Clark. And I've got a few testimonies that are from folks on our Facebook pages that weighed in when I said, hey, what have you experienced? Tell me something that you've experienced personally, either giving or receiving a prophetic word that is clearly God-glorifying and supernatural. I'd like to encourage others with it. Here's one from a book I was just reading by Randy Clark, Intimacy with God. And he has a testimony from a woman named Kaisa. As a young woman, she stepped out in faith and saw God work through her to impact the lives of many in a country that is closed to Christianity. So she's Finnish, and her story begins and ends in Finland. You ready? She said, I got radically saved in August 1998 and received a call to full-time ministry with a focus on missions and evangelism. A year later, God started speaking to me about China, and so I began to make plans and find out how to get there. God had told me to work in an orphanage. All right, so she's saying she heard the Lord, just casually telling us God told her. I can say the same over the decades in my life. There are things that God has told me, and hopefully as a believer, someone who's walked with the Lord, the things he's told you as well. Not simply a revelation or insight based on the written word, which is where the foundation of our faith is built, and where our doctrine is built, and our understanding of who God is fundamentally is built. Along with that, because we're his children, we're his family. And Jesus calls us friends, remarkably, that we walk with him. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So there is this participation, there is this union, there is this holy camaraderie as we serve and honor God as children of the Father, as brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus, our Master, our Lord, our King, that God shares things with us and speaks things to us. In fact, there's a story Randy tells in the book that on the way to someone's home, a couple is on their way to see some friends, and the wife feels the Lord telling her that this couple just got a new refrigerator. So she's thinking, okay, there's something significant to that. There's something of spiritual meaning to it. There's some reason God's telling her that. So when they got there, they walked in the house, and the first thing the couple did is said, "You got to come see our new refrigerator." But there seemed to be nothing of spiritual significance to it, no lesson, no special meaning or anything. And when she asked the Lord about it, she felt God tell her, "I just wanted to tell you." And it encouraged her that she was hearing God, and God was saying, "I just wanted to tell you." So that's a very sweet story, but most of the time there's something he's telling us, and there is another reason for it. So Kaisa in Finland feels God is speaking to her to work at an orphanage in China. She said, "Someone introduced me to a lady who was working far out in the western part of China on the Tibetan Plateau, and I knew this was the right connection. She, however, didn't have connections with orphanages. I told her that the Lord had told me to work in an orphanage and asked if she knew of any. She said there was one in the city where she lived, but they were not taking any foreigners due to the BBC documentaries about Chinese orphanages that had spread all over the world and put China in a very bad light. I had heard from God and was convinced this was my assignment, so I just trusted that he would make a way." As many people have said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You feel God's calling you to do something, you step out to do it. It can feel risky, but if you know it's the Lord, you do it. She said, "This woman felt there was no harm in asking, which she did. We prayed a lot and a miracle happened. I received a positive response and was welcome to come and work as a volunteer starting in June 2000. I prepared myself, got my passport and visa ready, and then in May I got a message telling me the orphanage had a new leader and this person didn't want any foreigners there. I just quit a well-paying job in my home country and moved my belongings to my parents' house in order to start my first adventure with God in China. I was a very young Christian, but had gotten deeply rooted and grounded in the Word of God during the first 2 years of my walk with Jesus, and I knew how to pray things through, so I decided to win this battle together with the Lord. With lots of prayer and faith and trust in God that nothing is impossible for Him when we obey His voice, I left for China without knowing what to do there. I was 20 years old at the time and had never been on any kind of an outreach or mission trip, and now suddenly I was totally on my own and on my way to the unknown because I felt God had called me. I arrived in China and was able to live with a missionary who had connected me with the medical team for a month so I'd have something to do. I traveled with them just helping and serving. During this time, I fasted and prayed and proclaimed that the doors to this orphanage would open up again in the name of Jesus. During the last day of the medical outreach, I heard that one of the participants was going to take something to that particular orphanage. I asked if I could join her, and together the two of us went and spent about an hour there. We got to meet some of the children. As we were entertaining the kids, I saw someone standing in the hallway and was told that she was the new director. I walked up to her, introduced myself, and said I was offered a volunteer position there and asked whether I could still start. I said I was willing to do anything, clean the toilets or whatever they needed help for. She looked at me as if she was hypnotized and said, "Of course you can help. When can you start?" God opened up the way for me after all, as I believed He would. I worked in that place of total hopelessness for 6 months. My assignment was to take care of the most severely handicapped children. I realized right away that these kids had no future, and I also realized that I was powerless to change their destinies. I wasn't able to communicate with them because I didn't speak the language. The atmosphere in that place was demonic and depressive. Every child had a desperate look in their eyes. They all longed for love and attention but were just ignored, basically just barely kept alive. Many times I talked to the boss about how she could sign the home up for an adoption program. I was convinced that at least the healthy children would have a chance to get adopted if she made this one crucial move. She didn't seem to pay attention or care. Finally, I left China very discouraged, feeling like a loser who wasn't able to make any difference for those children, convinced that I had not heard from God, that the whole thing with China and the orphanage had just been my own imagination. I returned to my home country disillusioned and defeated, with just one question ringing in my head. What was this whole thing all about, God? 8 months went by, And then one day I received a letter from a lady I didn't know. She wanted to know whether I was the Kaisa who worked in that particular orphanage as a volunteer. This is someone in Finland. She had contacted all the people under that same name in order to find me because she had great news. She told me that she adopted a girl from that orphanage and invited me to come and visit them. I couldn't believe it. I thought the whole time that my contribution in that orphanage had zero impact and that I wasn't able to help the children and change their destinies in any way at all. I thought the director just politely smiled at my enthusiasm. How wrong I'd been. She'd listened to me and done what I'd proposed. I immediately traveled to the city where this lady lived, in Finland. I couldn't believe what I saw. The child who had been adopted from the orphanage was one I knew well, and she knew me. We'd seen each other there every day. Now she had a home, a mother, and a sister in my home country. She had a future and all the possibilities to hear the gospel too. Soon after this, I started hearing similar stories. One story after the other followed of how children from that orphanage were adopted all over the world into wonderful homes, many into Christian homes. God has a good sense of humor. Out of all the possible places in the world, he placed two girls from the very orphanage where I'd worked in China into my hometown in Finland, into a well-known family that has had an impact on the whole nation of Finland and even beyond. And in all, destinies of countless children from China have been changed because of the step of obedience I took 20 years ago. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. I want to encourage your heart today. The Holy Spirit is still speaking. God is still moving and acting. Yes, people fail. Yes, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Yes, there are those who prophesy falsely. There are those who confuse the thoughts of their own mind with what God is saying. God rebukes the prophets in Israel, Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 13, for prophesying out of their own minds and then stealing words one from another, repeating what the other is saying without being sent by God, without hearing from God. It happened then, happens today. And again, that's why Scripture tells us to test everything, 1 Thessalonians 5, speaking about prophecies, and hold fast to that which is good. That's why Scripture tells us that two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully that which is being said, 1 Corinthians 14. So these things are processed and there is accountability in this. At the same time, abundantly, wonderfully, gloriously, around the world, God is speaking, God is moving, God is stretching out his hand. The testimonies, the witnesses are so massive documented and firsthand accounts so massive that literally, if all I did for the next 100 years was take the entire hour on radio and read contemporary miracle accounts, contemporary accounts of divine intervention, firsthand accounts, medically documented accounts, you name it, I wouldn't finish in 100 years. In fact, every year that would go by, I'd fall further into a backlog. And if you want some documentation, check out the book by Craig Keener, Miracles Today. If you want the larger philosophical discussion of the miraculous versus rationalism, then get his two-volume study, Miracles. But if you just want to get theological foundations and then have your mind blown with account after account after account, careful documentation, which is fitting for a careful scholar like Dr. Keener, get Miracles Today. Or get Randy Clark's book, Eyewitness to Miracles. And he'll also cite medical studies. Randy Clark's doctoral dissertation was on people who had metal implants in their bodies and their response to prayer. So did the condition that with the metal implant was their pain or lack of movement because of that? Now was the pain gone? Was movement restored after prayer? Or was the metal implant actually removed? I mean, this is what his doctoral dissertation was on. There's massive documentation. And then endless stories of the Holy Spirit speaking, specific words, amazing leadings. When you step out and do what God says and things fall into place. So I just want to share a few testimonies that were posted in the last few days on the Dr. Michael Brown Facebook page or my personal Michael L. Brown Facebook page. This one is from Scott. There are many in my life. This one is a word my wife received right after she miscarried what would have been our second child. I was actually ministering prophetically at our church and encouraged her to go receive ministry from a team. When she sat down, one of the girls ministering began weeping softly. She wept the entire time as the other two spoke words over her. As the ministry was winding down, this girl asked if she could pray over my wife's womb. Not knowing anything about the miscarriage, so she spoke healing, restoration, fruitfulness, among other things, over my wife and her womb. This girl, it turns out, was brand new to this type of ministry, and afterwards, when my wife explained what had happened, she was shocked and overjoyed in how she had heard the Lord through this prophetic word. We got pregnant shortly after this word and had two more after her. So it's just interesting. Here's someone brand new, and she feels I'm supposed to speak fruitfulness and grace over this woman's womb, not knowing she just had a miscarriage. Okay, it's a little thing, but it's a very sweet thing. In fact, it reminds me of a story. Nancy's best friend many years ago, she and her husband were together about 12 years and couldn't have any children. And God had dropped Psalm 113 into her heart, 113. And in it, it says that God settles the barren woman at home, happy mother of children. And that word became very real to her. She was not far from our house one day, I think got off a bus stop, was walking by, and was discouraged and just had kind of lost hope. And Nancy reminded her, if God gave you that word, that's a word from God. And she and her husband took hold of it, believed. She then received prayer from a medical doctor that has had his own healing miracle. And he asked, what do you want prayer for? And she said that I can have a child. And he said, how about 9 months from now? And he prayed over her to conceive and have a child. All right, it's the beginning of the story. Not long after that, by God's grace, she's pregnant. And she goes one day to a TV ministry where she's serving with other women there that are going to be answering calls. If you're calling in for prayer or for salvation, they'd be there to take your calls. She was just volunteering that day. And they were in a circle. She's a total stranger to them, in a circle. And goes around the room. I think she was already pregnant. If not, she was about to be pregnant. Either way, the miracle is the same. And the woman's looking around. She goes, someone here, you're about to have a baby. You're about to have a baby. You. And she points at her friends like, are you kidding me? Okay. So she ends up giving birth to a son. What time was the son born? 1:13 in the morning. there was another close friend who was praying for her, knowing she was in labor, and felt like she, like the prayer she was praying felt like she was in labor in prayer. And suddenly it lifted, and she looked at the clock, and it was 1:13 a.m., found out that's when the baby was born, Psalm 113, 1:13 a.m. It just so happens, we didn't realize this till we were sitting together in their house and the light went on. The first house that they owned was 1:13 Craig Avenue, Freeport, New York, I believe. We sat there and thought, this is 1:13, the house. We hadn't even realized it when they bought it. Just one of these things of God giving assurance, God reinforcing what he had said through the word, God giving encouragement, supernatural confirmation. It's just the love of God. It's relationship with him. It's not some prophetic ministry or a powerful minister, man of God, you're going to receive a big offering and prophesy. And it's just, it's intimacy. It's relationship. It's God and his love sharing things with you. There was a couple that I know the husband pretty well because he's a grad from or a third-year student in a school where I teach. So I've seen him for 3 years now, and he's often driven me around. I don't know his wife as well, but she's been in the school. But he's often mentioning him and his wife, et cetera. So I, of course, know their first names, et cetera. So turns out, as we're praying for different couples with several of us at Prophetic Presbytery in a church in Fort Worth a few months ago, that have their names in advance, just first names, just to pray. Some of them pray and the Lord will drop things in their hearts in advance. I only get something once I'm there, something will drop in my heart. And I thought this is the funniest thing. I had this word in my heart for this couple. I didn't realize it was them. When I realized it was them, I thought it fits perfectly. Sometimes you know someone well. In fact, that a story about Nancy's old best friend from many years ago, the one I just told you, she ended up having 3 kids total. But I had a word over her one day in a service, a little church on Long Island in the 80s. And I said to her, there's a Mary and a Martha in there. I remember I thought, you know, we're good friends of the family. How much of a word can I speak, et cetera? We know each other, Nancy's best friend. But I just felt to speak it. And as I did, she began weeping. That week, she had been listening to a message about Mary and Martha, and God said to her, there's a Mary and a Martha inside of you. And those are the words I spoke. So God, just in his love, confirms these things. It's his way of saying, I'm near. I'm alive and at work in your life. Chelsea shares this story. My husband received a prophetic word that we would have, quote, the keys to our destiny by the end of the month in June of 2020. By the end of that month, we had been given the keys to a church and have now been pastoring at High Praise Crestview for 3 years. We went from 20 to over 200 and growing with no launch team or staff. It's a wild story and so much confirmation. The prophetic has made a huge impact on our life in many ways, but that is one of my favorite stories because we're truly walking in destiny. So someone says you're going to get the keys to your destiny by the end of the month, and then someone hands you the keys to a new church, to a church building that you take over, and it's grown tenfold in a few years. How about this one from Mervin? We had come home on furlough from Russia. We were missionaries. I lived in Russia for 14 years at this time. My wife is Russian. We found out we were not going to be able to return due to the Russian government not wanting to issue new visas to our 4 kids. We had no idea what we were going to do. My wife found me on the porch of the missionary house we were staying in and asked what I was doing. I said, I'm going around and around in my mind, wondering how this transition was going to happen. We went to church that morning and the former pastor of the church saw us. He did not even know we were from Russia. During service, he stopped the worship team and said he had a word for us. He walked up to us and said, the Lord says you're going round and round, not physically, but in your mind. You're asking, how is this all going to happen? He said, the Lord wants you to know that he has prepared a place for you before the thought of transition entered your mind. What great peace and comfort that brought to us. I've now been pastoring a great church here in the States for 15 years. It's like the pastor was sitting on the porch with my wife and I, listening to our conversation that morning. God is good, and the proper use of prophetic ministry is awesome. I mean, how can I argue against that? Why would you say that's not the Lord? How is that adding to the Bible? or taking away from the authority of Scripture. These are just beautiful things of the nearness of the Lord. I have time for one more short one. Barbie. I have a dear friend who struggled with infertility for several years after getting married. At a church service, she went forward for prayer, and the guy praying for her said, "In a year, the son will give you a son." It was in the month of January, and the following January, their son Travis was born. What great joy. Friends, you can't manipulate this. Even if you said, well, they did research and they found out who was infertile. Well, how are you going to now prophesy fertility when there hasn't been? How are you going to create something that hasn't been there? Even if you thought, well, it's suspect, maybe they went on Facebook and saw your social media profile. Well, where do you get the kid from? How does that part happen? How does that part happen? And here, you know, many of these cases, it's total strangers. Nobody knows each other. There's no possibility of someone fishing for information or anything like that. And more importantly, here's a word, and it's in a year, the son will give you a son. And 1 year later, they have a son. I would just say we should thank Jesus. We should praise the Lord. Our heart attitude should be, praise God. You are working. You are speaking. This is real. On a theological level, I'm happy to debate this with any cessationist scholar, any theologian who says that the gifts of the Spirit that were operative in New Testament times are no longer operative today. I will joyfully debate that just based on the Scripture, digging into the original languages as much as you want. Let's do it. Theologically, I'm 100% sure it's what Scripture says. Experientially, I've seen it so many wonderful times as well that even if I didn't see it, I would expect it because of what Scripture says. Are you up for a few more testimonies on the other side of the break? Well, you got them. Stay right here.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I wrote an article this morning urging pastors, Christian leaders, not to hitch themselves to a political leader, not to tie their reputations in to a political leader. It's going to be an important article, be out later today or tomorrow. And the way you'll know about every single article, won't miss a single one, is if you get our emails, including our monthly frontline newsletter. So if you're not getting my emails, then you're missing four or five articles a week. You're missing a bunch of new videos a week. And you say, well, I don't have time for all of them. Yeah, but see what's of interest. See what's touching on a topic you've been wondering about. See what resonates with you, and you can now share with others. We'll do the hard work. You just go ahead and post it, read it, be edified by it, share it with your congregation. So go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and just sign up for the frontline newsletter. That'll get you all the emails as well. You know, sometimes we hear the voice of the Lord, and it just encourages us that we're really hearing. I'm thinking back, this is over, well, let's see, now, maybe over 40 years ago. I'd had a conflict with a brother, some misunderstanding, and I was trying to bridge the gap and make things right. He had believed some false things about me. And I just really felt, led the days before cell phones or anything like that, I really just felt prompted to call him on the phone. But I called and it rang and rang and nobody answered. I thought, but I really thought God told me to call him now. So I called again and he answers the phone and we start talking and he said, hey, look, I can't talk too long now. We were just driving by the house. I had to run in and get something and run back out. So I said, that one split second that I called that second time, and there they were. And obviously the goal was to open the door to talk more after that. So that was kind of like the icebreaker. But it's just one of those things of, yeah, it was the Lord. You did hear. Some things pan out more quickly. Some things take time. But by God's grace, we can really develop our ability to recognize the voice of the Lord. Ross, another time, so is selling, sharing several stories here. Another time we went to the mobile phone store. My wife looked at one of the sales associates and had a vision. It looked like her shoulder was being ripped off. Not bloody, but ripping off like a cloth rag doll. We asked her about it. She said she had terrible shoulder pain and it felt like something was torn. Her word. We prayed for her. Her eyes went wide above the COVID mask as she rotated, moved her shoulder all about. She was healed. And, you know, Randy Clark in his Intimacy with God book is just sharing stories from students that were in his ministry school or people that share this. And many times not from known ministers or ministry leaders. Just encouraging people to learn to hear the voice of God and the reports of these types of things, God giving a word or vision about a condition and the healing that's come are pretty remarkable. Twyla, 2003, I heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you a son and I want you to name him Samuel. I was told when I was younger that I would never be able to have children. My husband and I had two daughters already, almost 9 years apart. Then in 2004, a year after I heard that word from the Lord, a guest minister came to our church. My husband was taking him to the airport after a few days of powerful services, and while my husband was driving, the minister began to prophesy over him. All of the prophetic words were visions he was describing about our son as though he was already here. My husband said, sir, we don't have a son. The man replied, no, you don't, but you will. 7 long years later, Samuel was conceived. I was 40 years old when he was born. Within the first year of his life, the enemy tried to kill him. I had a legion of cysts on his brain. He had a legion of cysts on his brain, but God. Today he's 12 years old. He loves the Lord. He lives to serve the body of Christ and gets so much joy from it. So you get a child of promise, you fight and contend for that child all the more. And then last one from Katie. I know some of the story more firsthand because I know Katie and Wade. He was a student in our ministry school years back. She said, my husband Wade and I received an undeniably accurate prophetic word given to us by Ed Hackett about 7 years ago. He did not know anything about us or our life situation except that we were in ministry. He told us that we would have a ministry to the rich out of a big white circus tent. It's a pretty specific word. He said we carried a William and Catherine Booth-like anointing. They were the founders of the Salvation Army and worked with the poorest of the poor. So he said we carried a William and Catherine Booth-like anointing and that we carry within our hearts a special place for the poor and the broken, but that God was transitioning us to work among the wealthy to share his heart and our hearts with them for the poor. Wade and I at that time were working and planting churches in the poorest county in America, poorest county in America, actually the Native American reservation. I know the work there. And prior to that, I lived in Africa in one of the poorest places on earth. We had ministered to the poorest of the poor for over 20 years. We had set aside a week to seek God for a next step, and indeed we were wrestling with whether to move away to Charlotte. I particularly didn't feel comfortable leaving our ministry to the poor. I felt very at home there, not so much among the yoga-painted latte moms in suburban Charlotte. Amazingly enough, we got a call from a pastor of a large church in Charlotte asking us to consider coming and serving them. We felt a confirmation in our spirits. We started church services, which are still happening to this day on Saturday nights at Steel Creek Church of Charlotte. They gave us the original church to use, which happens to be a huge white tent. What a coincidence, huh? What a coincidence. Or maybe the Lord, friends? Maybe the Lord? We have imparted our hearts for the poor, and our congregation is heavily invested in missions around the world in America. A year after the church started, I ran into Ed Hackett again. He asked me, "Are you guys in the white tent yet?" I said, "Yes, we just started there." He says, "I have another word for you. Wade is like Barnum in the movie The Greatest Showman. He has an anointing upon him to bring together the hurt, the fatherless, the people who haven't got anywhere else, and create family. I definitely see that God has done that indeed." He also prophesied that God had already brought someone who had been wounded who needed a healing. God was going to do that soon. Within a very short amount of time, our worship leader got supernaturally healed right on stage during worship of a vocal cord issue he'd battled for years. He himself was walking out of a great deal of brokenness at the time God displayed his beautiful love. Fast forward one more year later, I ran into Ed Hackett again. He tells me he has another word for us. "Right now, your church is full of the gray heads. Am I right?" "Yes," I said. "That's what God has wanted for this past season, but he's about to bring a flood of young parents with children for you two to disciple. This is indeed exactly what has happened. Our tent is bursting every Saturday with young families and children. We definitely feel a strong call to equip, encourage, and pour into them. It's been an incredible journey. We are so humbled and honored to be part of anything God wants to do." When God called me to teach at Christ for the Nations, which had a branch on Long Island from 83 to 91, so I was there from 83 to 87, and now teach regularly at the Great Home School, Base School in Dallas, Texas, it was a supernatural calling, a supernatural word to sell our home. Clearly, some of the most definite leading I'd ever had from the Lord to quit my job, go teach there. An amazing, beautiful, wonderful story. Once I was there teaching, we had our house there, I thought, well, this will be my foundation for many years to come. And I'll go forth from here and speak and preach, but this will be my home base for many years to come. And we weren't even there that many months when I felt the Lord say to me, "This is temporary. You're not going to be here for all that long," which was quite a surprise. I ended up there for 4 years, then God called us to Maryland. So I also knew, though, that it was a key place for me to be trained, that the director of the school would be used by God to help sharpen me and give input into my life where I had some rough edges. And so it was a training place. It was not my permanent place. I knew that. Well, one service, there is a brother that's there, and he's not known for prophetic ministry, more of a teacher of the word, pastor, teacher of the word. But at the end of the service, he has a word over me. And he says to me, so we had a Sunday afternoon service, a Tuesday night service that just the general public could come to. So it was one of those services. He's speaking there. I think it was Sunday afternoon. He has a word over me. And he says, "This place is not your permanent home." I thought, yeah, I know that. That's true. And then he said that God's training me here while I'm here. So even though I'm a leader in the school, teaching in the school, I'm being trained. I knew that was true. And then he said, "And I see you in pastoral ministry." I thought, okay, I'm not a pastor. I'm not called to pastoral ministry. And say the word right. Say pastoral, not pastoral. This is literally what I'm thinking. But I can't shake it. I can't shake it because the first part was true, and the second part was true, and the third part bore witness in my spirit, even though my mind didn't understand it. And I start getting this pastoral burden for students and others. And I told Nancy one day, God saying to me, you're a pastor. I mean, she burst out laughing. He's like, right, you, a pastor. Well, it wasn't long after that, the pastor of our home church, I was like his right-hand man, prophetic elder, but he was the pastor. He committed adultery, and we had to remove him. And who takes over the church but me? No, it was only for several months, and it was definitely not my life calling. I'm not called, equipped. I have great honor, esteem for those called to pastor and shepherd. It's not who I am, which means all the more I have respect and honor for those that have that calling. But that's what I was doing for several months until we brought the new pastor in. And what's interesting is my heart changed so deeply that instead of this kind of prophetic wake-up call, get-with-it type message, it was more caring for the sheep and nurturing the sheep and wanting marriages to be healthy and the families to be well and so on. I thought, wow, I'm not used to preaching out of this kind of burden. I became different over those months. And then a new pastor came in. I was out of that. That was my one season of pastoral ministry, but it was spoken in advance, and God helped prepare my heart. So when that moment came, I knew, okay, I've got to step into this. It's just the beauty of prophetic ministry. So I just want to encourage you today. There's scandals, there's junk, there's false prophecy, there are false prophets, there's a lot of garbage, but there's so much good, so much good. Don't lose sight of the good because of the bad. You can't resist us!
Another program powered by the Truth Network.